You gotta earn it.
You have to earn it.
I want you to earn it.
You're listening to the Earned This podcast, where a community of ambitious people just like you are transforming their potential into progress towards their best self.
So what's the mission?
Our mission? To arm you with tactical strategies to obliterate all obstacles. So listen now, act after, and earn this with your host, Kyle Cuyat.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Kyle Cuyat, and welcome to another episode of the Earn This podcast. We have an exciting guest, Jerry Perez, on with us today. Now, I'll just give you a little background on him. He's an online marketing and branding expert, at least in my personal opinion. I've seen him do it, and that's how I got him on the show here. We actually recorded this podcast about a month and a half ago, and since then, it's grown about another 70 to 80,000 followers on TikTok alone. So I'm extremely impressed and extremely excited to have him on today. Jerry, welcome, my friend.
Thanks for having me, bro. I'm excited to be here. Always a lot of fun to chat with you and really excited to dig into it.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Well, it's so what's been kind of the key to your success, at least as far as recently? You know, kind of give people a little bit of background as to what it is that you do. Obviously, you know, you've done and you put out a lot of information as far as different marketing strategies, personal branding, and you're not just on one platform, you're on multiple, but kind of give us a background as to what it is you do and what your interests are, and that we can dive through things a little bit further.
Yeah, for sure. So I own a marketing agency by the name of Marketing And. And over the past 6 to 7 months, I hopped on TikTok, which has been a ride. It's been kind to me for sure. Having a lot of fun on there. And I'm also trying to expand onto other platforms such as Instagram and YouTube, doing a lot of tutorials specifically on YouTube. And with Instagram, just sort of being more personal with my community in terms of stories, what I share, insights, mindset, all that good stuff. So I'm really trying to distribute. Oh, and LinkedIn too. I'm trying to get the hang of that. People say it's important, but I'm getting the hang of it. It's been fun, but definitely TikTok has been, like I said, very kind to me over the past 6 to 7 months, having a lot of fun on the platform. I think it's really the future of content, how people consume content. It's short form, quick, rapid nature really allows people to digest information in a very like bite-sized package, which is cool. And yeah, man, it's been exciting. It's been great.
Well, let's stay on that for a quick second. I mean, as far as TikTok goes, that's kind of where I discovered you. So I want to stay on that just for a sec. I mean, last time when I discovered you about a month and a half ago, we first started chatting a bit, I think you were at 150,000 followers or so. Now you're what, 220,000, 230,000 or so?
Yeah, I'm somewhere around there. To me, dude, like in all honesty, I hate like the whole like follower game. That's not really like why I do it. Sometimes it's nice and encouraging to see that people sort of like back what it is that you're putting out. But I think that that's sort of like a poor focus, or at least like long-term, it really sets like a poor metric and it forces you to go after the wrong things. Don't get me wrong. It's great to have a community and it's great to have an audience. I'm extremely grateful for each and every single one of those, but it's not my primary motivator. My primary motivator is one, just teaching other people, because for me, when I learn something new and I find a way to apply it into sort of like modern day society with like hip and like pop culture relevant examples, that sort of like motivates me to be able to better understand the subject, to be able to put it on video for my following. So at times it's even like a selfish act, so that I can digest the information even more. It's like a two birds, one stone type deal. But I've been extremely grateful. It's been awesome, man. It's been awesome.
Well, that's a really good point. I'm actually glad you said that, because the thought in my head and the question I had for you later, but I want to bring it up now, is as far as creating content online, right? There's a lot of people that quote themselves as online gurus or say, you know, do this. And for example, if you follow Gary Vee will say, you know, listen to your followers and do exactly what they want, put out content that people want.
Yeah.
In your opinion, should you be more focused on what your audience wants or what you think your audience wants or what you personally want? Because, you know, at the end of the day, whether I'm a business owner and I'm trying to bring in more customers, or whether it's just me as a person, I'm trying to build my own personal brand to do other things in the future online. I have listeners that do everything in between those two things. What's your take on that?
For me, in all honesty, it's a hybrid. And it goes back to sort of like how I think about creating content specifically, because I do see some videos as like, okay, this could potentially go viral, which is essentially casting a wide net to bring more people into my sort of like audience, into my network, right? And then I also do like more tutorial based content as well, sort of like teaching and showing what can be done on different platforms, right? And that does a couple things. I really do believe that teaching is one of like the newest forms of marketing, and it's going to be around for a long, long time. Because if you're able to teach, it's happened multiple times that when you try and teach someone something, they'll reach out. They're like, hey, so I saw this video and I was asking about this. Even if you walk them through it, like bullet by bullet by bullet, they'll be like, wow, so this is great. I'm finally understanding this, but I don't have time to do it myself. Can you do it for me? And hey, you have a new client, right? So teaching in that sense and being sort of like a giver up front pays off in the long run as well. And not to mention, like I said, like being able to teach something really implies like overall knowledge and understanding on a certain subject. So it helps you better understand the subject as well. So I think like thinking about content in those different brackets or categories is very helpful to actually grow and garner an audience on any platform, really.
That's a really good point. You know, I've kind of found myself doing that a bit, but also more than that, or people that I personally follow that I gain the most value out of are people that teach me something or I go to listen to intellectually stimulate myself in some way, shape, or form and try to think differently or learn something different. So that's exactly a very good point, especially with all the information out there today. It starts to build you as a reliable source. So let's stick on that for a second. Let's say that I'm a young professional, I'm 25 years old. We're just going to describe my average listener as someone in their 20s. Maybe they're working for someone else, or maybe they already have their own business, but they want to start to develop their personal brand online. Right now, they just have their own personal accounts and such. Yeah. Should they make something new? Should they hire, you know, some kind of marketing agency? Like, at what stage of the game do you reach out for more help? And then also, what's maybe your advice for somebody that is just simply starting out or revamping their online brand or their own personal brand?
So for personal brand specifically, I mean, in all honesty, it just depends on your personality style. Like, are you someone that really relies on sort of like a coach to hold your hand and tell you, okay, dude, you got to do this, this, and this every week? If that's within your personality style, then that's going to work out great. But if you're someone that can just sort of like learn from other people and see, okay, this is working for them, how do I apply what they're doing, their tactics, their strategy into my niche? So it's not that there's like a right or wrong way to do it. It's a matter of like assessing your personality and your tendencies and seeing, okay, like I could benefit from exterior guidance, or I got this. You know what I mean? Now, in regards to what they should showcase and highlight, like showcase what you want to get into. If you want to become an online marketer, start talking about marketing subjects. If you want to talk about sort of like design specifically, start talking about design. Just be known for sort of like your thing is my best piece of advice. But by all means, you don't need to go out there, hire a coach, take a program or anything like that. It's just a matter of putting yourself out there and sharing what you know with the world.
Right. And finding out what works and what doesn't.
Exactly.
And really,
how your audience responds to that.
Right. Exactly. That's a good point. So I guess in your experience, what has separated you? Because I know I know it's just a number from the following standpoint, yeah, but obviously people like what you put out, and I found you that way. Mm-hmm. And you've also had videos that have amassed millions and millions of views. And today that seems to be the currency that is most sought after, which is attention and eyes. And you've mastered that skill in a very short amount of time, or at least are one of the people that are doing it very, very well. So what has been the key separator between you and your average person? What is it that you specifically do differently that if you think the average person maybe picked up on or started to implement for themselves would help them
So specifically on TikTok, I think it's super helpful to think about your content. Like I described it in different sort of areas. Like I said, I do have, it's still niche relevant content, but I know like, oh, this is a little bit more provocative. It's not really like teaching anything, but it's a story with sort of like an embedded lesson behind it that can really garner attention because there's like an Easter egg in it or just whatever it might be. Like you have a feeling, you start developing sort of like a feel for what could potentially get a lot of attention. Definitely figure out what that is and what that's like to be able to pull people into your audience and then turn them into a true fan by actually teaching the stuff that you want to teach. And that's not to say that like the first bucket, the viral bucket per se, let's call it that, isn't valuable. It's just more appealing to a wider range of people. That's all I'm saying, right? So yeah, I guess that's my best piece of advice. Just have different content for different reasons.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like a funnel. You know, everybody talks about the online funnel these days. You know, you have the wider reach trying to gather everybody that you can in that specific area. And then you start to funnel it down to what it is you really do and what you can provide. Yeah,
exactly. And I mean, it's okay to like want to garner attention because without that, I mean, they're not going to be able to like land on your page either way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, I agree 100% because nowadays you hear a lot of people, and that's why I wanted to get your take on it, because coming from somebody that has a lot of the numbers, right? People almost only shoot after the number, right? Almost in a lot of things, people, and not just monetarily, but also in the internet world about how many followers, how many likes this post gets and X, Y, and Z. But at the end of the day, if you're a business owner, or if you have your own personal brand and you're trying to convert that into loyal followers per se, you know, you want things to stick and convert and stick around. You don't want a bunch of just random accounts that follow you and nothing comes of it. So
yeah,
based on that, when do you start to pull the trigger to then sell things online? Because I noticed that you've done a little bit more recently as far as making those conversions online. Mm-hmm. What's kind of been your take on that? You know, maybe some of the good things and maybe some of the things that if you can go back, you would have done differently.
Yeah. So essentially I came to the realization that my TikTok audience was not sort of like my ideal client base or who I typically work with. They're a little bit younger, but that doesn't mean they're not valuable. It just like forced me to think, okay, this is awesome. I have like a big, big audience. How can I cater and develop something that could be beneficial to them as well, right? That doesn't necessarily distract from my business. And I think like to make it short, like a simple answer is digital products. Now, here's the thing about digital products, whether it's courses, ebooks, whatever it might be, that entire industry, I take it very sensitively because I know that there's a lot of narratives behind it that people are like, oh, this specific thing is a scam. They throw around the word scam a lot, right? So for me to actually want to release a product or anything along the lines of that, I would have to know that it's like truly, truly valuable. And I know that it's going to serve people and it's going to be in direct proportion to the value and the price before actually releasing something like that. Because I do understand how tainted that entire industry is. And it's unfortunate because I do believe that there's a lot of people out there that have some great, great things to share. And I think that's holding them back from actually releasing some sort of digital product, which I think I would fall into that category myself, really. I think it's still sort of like a mental barrier that I'm trying to understand. How can I better serve my younger audience without distracting from my main business? Not in efforts to necessarily monetize on them, because at the end of the day, like you have to make money somehow if you're running a business, right? It's not necessarily to monetize them. It's more so, how do I establish myself as an authority on said space or said subject with them early on so that I continue to maintain that relationship with them over time? It doesn't have to be a huge product. It doesn't have to be like a huge course, whatever it might be, but how can I get my foot in the door into sort of like their awareness to be able to keep that relationship with them over the next 10 years per se? Right. So that's sort of like my mentality about in regards to that.
I think that's a really good point because you talked about the scammers in the space and just online in general, especially in the course space and everything else, is there's a lot of people that will, you know, you can almost see right through it nowadays. And I think that's actually interesting is, at least for me personally, I can see right through somebody that is actually doing something correctly and somebody that's not. And I really believe the separator is what you just said, which is, you know, I don't want to sell them anything. I just want to establish a relationship with them and trust, and also give them as much, you know, free information and free information as a whole to help them as possible. Rather than just saying, hey, buy my course for $97 and never talk to you again or never be heard of again, right? Exactly. Or just try to keep upselling them from there, which is not the right thing to do.
Yeah. And I mean, you understand that because you have exposure to the industry and like, you know what's up at this point, right? But you have to understand, I don't know the exact age range or anything like that, but if I were to assume, I'm assuming that a vast majority of my audience is anywhere between 15 and 25 years old. So that's still quite impressionable, you know? So a lot of people, they don't understand that and they don't have a feel for what's legitimate and what's not. So like I said, for me, it shouldn't be anything that I would necessarily have to fear for, but it's still always in the back of your mind because you know just how tainted that entire industry is.
It's almost like a responsibility kind of thing. It's kind of how I see it. Is like at this point, I feel like I have a responsibility to do the right thing, not just obviously online, obviously in life and amongst other areas, but especially in that space where it's almost has a bad name for itself per se online. There's you just never know who you're dealing with. Which is true. Take it back to TikTok for 1 second. You know, you and I are younger people. I have some older individuals listen to my podcast. They're all age ranges, mainly it is young adults. But let's say it is someone, even in our age range, that maybe is afraid of TikTok. You know, what would be the benefit to come to TikTok? And then also hit on a little bit as far as your experience and how you got started, just so people can kind of gather how long it took you to do what you've done so far.
So yeah, I mean, being afraid, that's pretty silly. Like I'm 25. Yeah. So if I'm talking to myself and I'm 25 and I'm saying like, dude, I'm afraid of getting on an app. It's like, you know, it sounds silly. So I don't think anyone should be afraid of getting out there and sharing. Like what I always tell people, if you have some sort of like creative passion, something that you just want to share with the world, whether it's painting, whether it's poetry, whether it's writing, whether it's something specific to your career, some sort of skill set. Like the best place to share that in 2020 is TikTok. Like no doubt about it, hands down, because the amount of free and organic attention that you can garner on the app is disproportionate to anything else. It's insane. It's insane. The best example I can give you is like I started back in December and I think I posted like my fourth video, got like 1.5 million views. And I was like, holy shit, this is for real. This is, I mean, it's happening. Cause like I kept listening to Gary V like for like 2-3 months beforehand. He was just saying like, yeah, you have to be on TikTok. You have to be on TikTok. And I just got tired of it, man. I'm like, what is this man talking about? So I got on there. I started following a couple people like related to my specific space. I saw what they were doing, how they were sort of like structuring their content, just all that stuff. I kind of like studied it for a couple weeks and then I just pulled the trigger, started posting. And like I said, like the fourth or fifth video that I posted crossed 1 million. And I think that got me anywhere between like 5,000 to 7,000 followers. So at that point, it's like, damn, now I feel responsible to actually cater to these people. And I haven't looked back since. It's been good.
I love it. And boom, that is the key, by the way, exactly what you just said there, which is for somebody that maybe not necessarily scared to go onto the app, but more or less scared of how to convey what it is they do in a way that they've never done before, which is maybe quick, short videos. Maybe they're used to doing longer posts on Instagram or more just formal posts in online or in person. Go ahead and look at what other people are doing on that platform that are in your same niche or same area, and then put your own twist on it. And you know, if it's working for them, it certainly could work for you. And you're really missing out on an easy opportunity.
So. Exactly. I mean, one of my favorite phrases is everything is a remix. It's used a lot like in design, just in everything. And essentially if you think about it, like everything truly is a remix. It's very hard to come up with like 100% original idea, but the real like key ingredient behind everything is it's you. You know what I mean? Like you can't replace, no one can take you from you. So definitely just like find what sort of like content style is working for other people and implement your own sort of like wittiness, personality. Maybe it's a skill set. Maybe you're really good at like video and stuff like that. So you can do like a high produced video, something along the lines of that. Like just give it your own touch and you'll definitely be able to find an audience on there. If you're
That's true. Consistency. And that leads me to the next thing. Dude, you read my mind, man. You almost knew I was going to ask this question. Yeah. Talk about your content creation jar. And, you know, that for me, from what I've seen, and even in my own personal experience, if I'm being honest, I have gotten on a roll with things at times, and then I hit a stumbling block, or at least I'll hit something that, you know, maybe I'm not as consistent as I once was. And the consistency is really when you start to stay consistent is when you see all the other, basically the reward for your consistency coming into play. From a content standpoint, and I believe that you, what you've done and what you and I have talked about before with this, can help anybody in any situation or any niche or wherever that is they're doing. Can you talk about that a little bit from your, on your process for that?
Yeah. So something that I like consistently pound into my head is that content is abundant, right? Like there's, you're never going to run out of content ideas. There's always going to be a new current event that you can find how to apply that to your niche. Like there's always going to be something new that you learn. So if you're pacing out your content because you just don't want to rush through it all, I think that's foolish. I think what's important too is just establish sort of like a schedule that you can stay consistent to. Like I started out, I proposed like I'm gonna do 3 videos a week, which for me was like a lot, dude. I was like, I have no idea how I'm gonna do this. Like, and I'm talking TikTok, so I'm not talking YouTube videos, I'm not talking IGTV, I'm talking I'm gonna make 3 TikToks a week. At the time it was like so much. Then I talked to a friend of mine that he has a pretty large Instagram page. He's like, dude, like you should be at least doing 1 a day, like if not 3 a day. I'm like, what are you talking about, dude? Like if you knew like how tough this is. And he's like, dude, I know, trust me, I make content for Instagram. It's a similar process. It's a lot. But dude, like you just have to do that in order to grow. And he was right. I mean, I started pushing myself to do at least 1 a day. At times I'd push myself to do 2 a day. And I think I've been consistent with the 1 a day ever since like February, March-ish.
Nice.
I try not to miss a day where I post. And at the end of the day, it's consistency is the name of the game in pretty much anything. But when it comes to the content idea jar, what I do is I'm a forgetful person. I write things down religiously. So whenever I have like an idea for a video, what I'll do is I live off of like little yellow notepads. So I'll just sort of like script out a video, or maybe it's just sort of like the overall idea behind the video, roll it up, put it into a little content jar. And when it's time to make a video, maybe I'm not like, I don't have something fresh on my mind that I want to make. I pull out the content jar, pick out a piece of paper, and I literally already have a video scripted and all I have to do is execute. So that's something that's helped me a lot too, having something to reference. And you can do that in the notes section of your iPhone, of your phone, whatever it might be. It doesn't have to be written out. I just prefer written out. Not sure why, old fashioned, I guess. But it's definitely been a good trick.
I love that. And that, if you think about that, that process as a whole, it can be overwhelming to people that maybe have their own business and have all these other things going on. That's something that is almost a way to just scale that process, right? All you're doing simply is scaling that process and taking all of the other thought out of it. You know, for me, I'm just like you, you know, I'll be walking down the street or I'll be in the grocery store, I'll be working out and be like, man, this would be a great idea, or just comes in my head and then I'll forget about it, or I won't do anything about it, or I won't act on it. Whereas I took that idea from you and I just been writing things in my notes, or I'll shoot myself a text, so it's already there, ready to go, and then I'll add it later. But that's a way to scale that process and keep that creative energy flowing, and you'll never run out of ideas. And you can, I've even built ideas off of other ideas just from that process alone.
I like to call it a brain dump. I think it's important to be able to sort of like take everything from here and just put it somewhere else to revisit later. Cause I mean, life can get hectic sometimes, and just focusing on a singular task, it can be tough. Speaking as a millennial here, right? But yeah, it's definitely something that helps. I like writing stuff down for sure.
So I love that. And I agree with you 100%. I'm the old fashioned way too. I use my paper calendar and I just prefer it that way. Just one more thing I want to hit on TikTok. So, you know, I don't know what stage we're in with this. It's hard to say at this point. Some people have been the early adopters of everything. Some think that we maybe have already surpassed that stage. I don't think we have by any means, especially with what's changing on there as far as advertisements go and such. I know you wanted to hit on that a little bit. What do you think is going to change moving forward, and why should everybody be on TikTok, whether it's their own personal brand or for their business?
Yeah, I think brand specifically, it's a huge opportunity to be on TikTok. I'm thrilled that the ad platform is now sort of like self-serve to everyone. The reason being is the content and the creative development behind it. Like, there's going to be some people that struggle with it so, so bad, dude, because they've never made a TikTok in their life. I think right now, the TikTok ads division, their slogan is, don't make ads, make TikToks. And I mean, it's the perfect way to describe it. Like, if you don't understand the pace, the language, the trends, and all that stuff that's going on the platform, like, good luck creating like high converting ads on the platform. Obviously, the amount of attention that's on the app right now, it makes it extremely enticing to advertisers out there, specifically people that are running e-com stores, I think. From what I've seen on the ad platform, it's fairly limited in terms of targeting and demographics and all that good stuff. But that being said, if you focus on having a killer creative, I think you'll be able to garner a lot of attention and make quite a few sales on there. It's exciting.
Do you think for creators, they'll be able to monetize on there at any point? I mean, obviously, YouTube has done that. I think the best out of any other social media platform, which advertisements on YouTube are almost a different thing. I mean, potentially, but what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, hands down. I do think the future of TikTok. So TikTok, real quick, let me touch base on this real quick. Before the people that invented Musical.ly, the original app that they had made before Musical.ly was what they described as a combination between Coursera and YouTube in sort of like short form mobile format. So they always had a focus on sort of like learning and education, but they found that people had a hard time sort of like adopting that early on. So they're like, how can we create sort of like an app that's more, that appeals to a wider audience? And Musical.ly was born. And then TikTok adopted it. And now you're going to start to see a lot more educational content, like tutorials, tips, and all that good stuff, specifically on TikTok, going back to what they originally wanted to be. So that's going to be really cool. Now, when it comes to monetization, I do think that at some point they're going to introduce longer format videos, whether it's anywhere between 3 to 5 minutes, something along the lines of that. Because I truly believe that it's going to be a fusion between IGTV and YouTube. It's really going to bridge that gap. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens there. And of course, once you introduce longer formatted videos, maybe you can have like one or two ad breaks within the video and you can implement creator monetization as well. So that's really one of the main ways that they can start to reward their creators. They also have this thing called the Creator Marketplace. Are you familiar with it?
Mm-mm, I'm not, actually.
So it's basically where people or creators on the app can sort of like upload their profile. Different brands can browse depending on how they categorize their content. You set your rates. Brands can reach out to you. It just facilitates the whole influencer marketing side of the business, which it's pretty cool that TikTok doesn't really take like a cut from any of that. But it facilitates it for brands as well. So they want to encourage brands to like dip their toes in the water with TikTok specifically.
Have you used that at all?
I'm on there as a creator. But yeah, it's pretty cool. It just facilitates. It's almost like brokering it, but they're not really taking commission or anything like that. So they really want to encourage brands to experiment with influencers on TikTok, which is a step in the right direction for sure.
What I like about it, and the reason I want to talk about it so much, is because A, you have a lot of experience with that app in general, and success also. But B, it seems to be that they're doing things the right way as a whole. You know, like it's very organic in just how you can grow on there, how you can reach your audience, how, like we have mentioned before, what you see on the app is almost geared towards you. So if you're creating content for somebody that is maybe in this, has this particular interest, it's going to show up on their, on their page or on their phone or wherever is they're looking at it at some point. So it's really interesting. And I think that everybody should, at least if you haven't, if you're listening to this right now and you don't have TikTok and you're not utilizing it or at least taking advantage of it, maybe you just made dancing videos on there, which is totally fine. Nothing wrong with that. But from a business standpoint and from a personal branding standpoint, I think it's a massive, massive opportunity that really only a few people are taking advantage of and taking advantage of it correctly. So that's why I want to talk about it today. Last kind of question for you on this one. So people have asked me over the years, and I don't even know the answer to this myself. So I want to get your opinion. Obviously, if someone has a personal brand or if they have their own business, they should certainly have their own website, or they should at least have something where somebody can go and that's their next call to action. How do you then intertwine and also pull the trigger on making your call to action something that is easy, but also not forceful to your audience? And what does that look like for you personally?
Yeah. So for me specifically, I don't really push a lot of CTAs on TikTok. Right now I'm just focusing on building and just creating a name for myself on the app until I really sort of like push that audience specifically somewhere. But like me personally, I use Easy Bio Link, which is essentially an app that allows you, sort of like a landing page that allows you to put all these different links. But in all honesty, man, to answer that question directly, I think it's 2020 and people understand when they're being sold to or when they're being asked to do something. So in all honesty, like I would say like screw the subtleties and just ask for what it is that you want. If you want people to go check out your website for so-and-so thing, maybe it's your new blog post, maybe it's a new thing, obviously incite them, like give them a solid reason why they should do it, sort of like bait them into it in a sense, but ask. Like people are woke these days, you know? It's not like if you're selling a product, at some point they're going to have to pull out the card and they're going to realize that they're being sold to, right? So in all honesty, I know a lot of people are sort of like tentative to go for the ask, but I think it's totally fine as long as you're providing a service or a product that you believe in and you know it's valuable. There's no shame in asking for the purchase or anything along the lines of that.
I agree 100%. So based on all of that, what would you say, like how could somebody then work with you, or how do you work with people? Let's say somebody in my audience wants to do some more things on personal branding or marketing, you know, what services do you provide personally? And if somebody did want to take advantage and rather than doing it themselves, they wanted to utilize an expert like yourself, how would they do that?
So originally I started doing Facebook ads and providing Facebook ads for different businesses. Right now we just opened up a new section, which would be TikTok ads, which I'm really excited for. Nice. That's going to be a lot of fun. I am starting to take applications for people that want to run ads on TikTok, e-commerce businesses specifically. So that's exciting. Those are my two main services. Now, if you just want general consultation, depending on what the ask is, for sure, I'm always happy to give advice, throw back a couple emails and whatnot. But I don't have like a specific program. It's more so catered to what it is that they're asking me and is it a good fit? Is it something that I can provide? Right. So it's totally dependent on that. But aside from that, I do offer sort of brand services, which would be either brand strategy, logo design, stuff of that nature. But I am heavily shifting my focus specifically to the advertising side of the business, because I do see a lot of potential specifically with TikTok ads. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, my website, by the way, if y'all want to check that out, is www.marketing-and.com. And you can definitely either reach me or find more information about my services on there.
Yeah, and how do we find you? Because I mean, you do practice what you preach. I will give you that, and that's why I have you on the show, because I wouldn't have anybody on here that it does not. You know, you have a lot of really great free content out there too, not just on Instagram, but also on TikTok. You know, for maybe those other people that are do-it-yourselfers, that at least want to get as much out of you as possible for the time being, because look at everything you have posted. Where can they find you on that?
So on Instagram, my at is GerardoPNF. I know I have a tricky name, so I'm going to spell it out. It's GerardoPNF. And on TikTok, my username is Gerardo_Perez. And yeah, I'm always happy to connect with new people. I love answering my DMs as much as I possibly can, because sometimes it is a little overwhelming, but I try. And yeah, I just genuinely love talking and sharing experiences with other people. So definitely reach out.
Love it, brother. And I will link all that below for everybody, you know, for everything like that. So last question. And this is one that I try to ask everybody at the end of the show, at least here moving forward. I thought about this lately, you know, what kind of my audience that listens to this predominantly is young professionals. It's predominantly younger people that are ambitious, that are go-getters, that want to improve for themselves. What would be your best piece of advice for someone, let's say that they were just going to grab a quick coffee with you, or you had maybe just 2 minutes just to give them a bit of advice? What would you say to someone that's maybe in that younger age range that's growing up, about to enter the real world right out of college per se, but is very ambitious? You know, what piece of advice based on your experience would you give them?
Protect your dream, man. Be very sensitive about who you share your ideas with and who you take advice from, because there's a lot of people out there that are going to want to tell you that you can't do something simply because they couldn't do it themselves. So like I said, protect that dream. And number two, take actions, like legitimate action steps to make it happen. Some days is going to be a lot easier than others. There are tough days. There's no doubt about that. So definitely be prepared, but never lose sight of what it is that you want to accomplish, man, and never allow other people to influence your decisions in regards to what it is that you want to accomplish.
Amen to that. That's true. I agree 100%. I've fallen victim to that. I've also held my guns to that too. So yeah, I couldn't agree
more. I'm gonna add something else there. It's also don't seek out too much advice. I really do think that you have to be smart in order to make calculated decisions and seek out other people's experiences and advice, but also don't fall into, I need to learn all these things, that you don't take action. Because I know that when I was starting out, I was just obsessed with consuming all this information and finding out what's the best way to do things. And in all honesty, that's great to a certain degree, but there comes a point in time where you just have to pull the trigger and start making moves. So don't use learning as a form of procrastination. Always learn and apply, learn and apply. And also understand that you can continue to learn as you're applying. So that's another tidbit.
No, I agree 100%. And that, it really, at the end of the day, that is the best way to learn, is actually applying it, because you'll find out whether or not the information that you have is working and does work for you, or if it doesn't. And if it doesn't, then, you know, re-correct and see if you can do it a different way, or try to learn something different and apply it
Absolutely.
That way.
Absolutely.
Know? Well, Jerry, brother, as always, great conversation with you. Really insightful today. I'm glad we got into details on things. I think some of the questions that we had beforehand also tied into this, but it's funny just to see, you know, how it all kind of comes together and even evolves, even just over the last month and a half, how many things have changed, not just in the online marketing and personal branding space, but in 2020 alone. So
yeah, in life.
Well, thanks for coming on, brother. I will link you, and I'll put everybody, I'll have all of his information below. Definitely go check him out. He's a great dude, and he really knows what he's talking about when it comes to this. Jerry, thanks so much.
My pleasure.